Mountains are your majesty, and flowers touch delicately. Oceans churn with veiled world, and rivers carve their freedom. Yet you know me, for you made me in the midst of mountains and the coast of seas. My powerful creator, it is your image, in your image you made me, and I'm ready to know who you wait for me to be. Your perfect water sculptures made when icy breath halts misty haze, then summer sunset colours drip off the quill of you, my creator, on the banks of raging rivers under illuminated canopies. My purposeful creator, it's in your image you made me, and I'm ready to know who you wait for me to be. I'm ready. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you. It's such a lovely sunny day, and you're all looking very summery this morning. Lots of lovely bright colours. The order of service has the intimations that you need for the coming week. I just want to highlight one or two things. One that's not there is the magazines. I've been doing a grand job of getting the magazines out. It's the whole parish drop this time round, and you've been doing a fantastic job, but there are still some for bits of cults and mull timber on the table here. So if any of you fancy a nice wee walk this afternoon in the sunshine, there's an idea. Please feel free to take a bundle so we can ensure that our magazine gets out to every house in the parish. But thank you to those who have helped so far. I know one or two of you have walked many miles in the process of getting the magazine to where it needs to be, but thank you. The Embassy Festival is getting underway, and we have the Cult Scribes 25th anniversary display here next towards the end of the week. And on Wednesday, folk are going to do some flower arranging around the church for that, are looking for garden flowers. So if any of you have flowers in your gardens, and I know how well the gardens are growing this summer, because I also know how well the brambles in the manse garden are growing everywhere I don't want them to grow. So please feel free to cut some of your flowers and bring them along on Wednesday morning between 10 and 11 here in the church, and they will be gratefully received by the ladies who are going to do the flowers. I will leave you to read everything else that's there in your own time. We've come to worship God, who loved us before we were yet born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God. Let's worship together as we stand and sing hymn 202. Stand up and bless the Lord. Let's turn to God now in prayer. Lord, you know us, and still you love us. How can we not come before you in awe and wonder, ready to offer our worship and praise? We will never understand the full extent of your love or understand the true cost of that love in Jesus, our Saviour and guide. And yet, we can come before you with no barrier, no door closed, in the welcome that you offer. You made all of creation and each cell of our bodies. You know our thoughts and you know our sins. We desperately try to hide our mistakes, our weaknesses, our embarrassments, but you know it all. And so we come before you asking for your forgiveness. Even as you know the limit of our human capabilities, we know the unlimited power of your love. Forgive us, cleanse us, make us whole. The God who has made us will never desert us. The God of creation is creating still, making us new. The God whose love gave us the gift of Jesus Christ is the same God whose love forgives and sustains us. Lord, we come to you now praying the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 230, Every New Morning, hymn 213.
This morning is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 14. This can be found on page 622 in the Pew Bible. That's Psalm 139, verses 1 to 14. Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. You are all round me, on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. it is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You'd be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light round me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all my heart. Amen, and may God bless to this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. We now sing a version of that psalm, number 97, in your hymn books. A week past Friday, I led worship for the team leading the National Youth Assembly at Gartmore. I chose as my text the words from Psalm 139 we've heard this morning. I chose them because Psalm 139 was the theme of my very first National Youth Assembly that I attended as part of the staff team back in 2002. I was then working for what was the Board of Parish Education. This psalm has remained a firm favourite of mine ever since. The words have provided both comfort and challenge when I have needed them. The National Youth Assembly is an event that had a huge impact on me and my faith formation and my call to ministry. I was sitting on a couch chatting to a young person about their own sense of call that I finally had to admit that God was calling me, and that God had been nudging me for a number of years. I just hadn't been listening until that point. As a result, the Youth Assembly is something I have a very soft spot for, and it was a privilege to be there last weekend for the last ever Youth Assembly. My fondness for the event's not solely about it being where I heard my call, it's also because I know of the huge impact that the event has had on the lives of many, many young people. Lives that have been changed forever. The faith of young people has been encouraged, discipleship has developed, and the young people have found a collective voice within the church. And I've lost count of the number of young people who have gone on to follow a call to ministry or to work for the church in a variety of roles or to work for other Christian organisations. I'm not sure I fully understand the reasons behind the discontinuation of the youth assembly. There are plans for new things, including residential weekends focused on faith formation and discipleship. But there are currently no plans to provide a platform to seek a collective voice from the young people of our church. And this is such an important part of what's been the youth assembly. Last weekend, the young people focused each day on a topic. They looked at hate speech, what missional buildings might be, and they looked at the importance of confirmation and profession of faith. All big topics. And a report from the youth assembly will go to next year's general assembly with their thoughts about these things. And alongside that, working groups made up of the young people that they elected to be their representatives at next year's general assembly will work together further on these topics to provide a more in-depth report to go alongside the report from the youth assembly. With no plans to provide any other platform for young people's collective voices, this will be the last time the General Assembly hear what young people have to say about the issues facing the church and the world. This, to me, just makes no sense, especially as the church's radical plan announced at this year's General Assembly made it clear there was to be a focus on those under the age of 40. Anyway, having gotten that off my chest, what does Psalm 139 have to say to us today? The quote I've used each week over the summer as we've explored the wide variety of psalms contained in the Psalter is worth sharing again. People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the psalms to find out who they are. With the psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow. We release a latent joy. We use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. This quote is perhaps lived out most in Psalm 139. Because Psalm 139 is an honest acknowledgement of God's presence in our lives, our whole lives, from beginning to end. Now, the quote that I've used each week is part of a paragraph that continues with these words. It goes on to say, "A mirror shows us the shape of our nose and the curve of our chin, things we otherwise know only through the report of others. The Psalms show us the shape of our souls and the curve of our sin, realities deep within us, hidden and obscured, for which we need focus and names." And Psalm 139 certainly helps us to do this. It is a psalm that reminds us that God loves us and is with us always. A challenge and a comfort. A challenge because it brings us face to face with the knowledge that God is with us, and that can be a scary thought. If God is with us always, then he is with us when we are being our most unlovely. He's with us when we use unkind words. He's with us when we do unkind things. He's with us when we keep our mouths shut instead of speaking up. He is with us when we fail to act. He's with us when we choose to ignore those who need our help. He's with us when our actions have destructive effects on the environment. He's with us when our actions hurt the needy in society. He's with us when we pitch one group of people against another. He's with us when we choose who is in and who is out. He is with us when we deny God. He is with us when we deny Jesus. He is with us when we deny the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing that we can keep secret from God. All the things we want to keep hidden from others for fear they will think less of us, we cannot hide from God. And this is hugely challenging. Theologian Frederick Buchner wrote about secrets, and he wrote these words: we tend to think right away of dark secrets, things we did or failed to do that we have never managed to forgive ourselves for. Fierce hungers that we've had difficult admitting even to ourselves, things that happened to us long ago, too painful to speak of, doubts about our own worth as human beings, doubts about the people closest to us, about God, if we believe in God, and fear, the fear of death, the fear of life. But there are also happy secrets, the secrets we keep like treasure, less because we don't want to share them with the world for fear of somehow tarnishing them, than because they are so precious, we've no way of sharing them adequately. The love we feel for certain people, some of them people we scarcely know, some of them people who do not suspect our love and wouldn't know how to respond if they did. The way our hearts leap at certain things that the chances are wouldn't make anybody else so much turn a hair. The sound of a particular voice on the telephone, a dog-eared book we read as children, the first snow, the sight of an old man smoking his pipe on the porch as we drive by. We are our secrets. They are the essence of what makes us ourselves. They are the rich loom out of which, for better or worse, grow the cells by which the world knows us. If we are ever to be free and whole, we must be free from their darkness and have their spell over us broken. If we are ever to see each other as we fully are, we must see by their light. And Psalm 139 reminds us of this. Because Buchner is right. Not only does God know our dark secrets, he knows our happy ones too. Because not all secrets are bad. And in truth, they're not really secrets in the fullest sense, because God knows them. God knows us as fully as we do. And despite it all, the good and the bad, God loves us. And that's the great comfort in Psalm 139. If the challenge is that it makes us face up to our darkest secrets and actions, or lack of, then the comfort comes in the reassurance that despite all, even the worst of it, God loves us. This psalm is a gift to us from the psalmist, as it reminds us of the intimacy of God's knowledge of us, and yet this is a God that loves us. In a sermon on this psalm, Jeremy Toxler wrote, "God digs you. When no one else notices you, when no one else has time to bother, God searches you. You are endlessly, fascinatingly interesting to God. God doesn't get rid of you. God searches you. And God knows you. This is the God whose eye is on the sparrow. This is the God who keeps your tears in a bottle. This is the God who took out the divine knitting needles and crocheted you together, stitch by stitch, in your mother's womb. This is the God who tallies the number of hairs on your head, admittedly easier for some of us than others, but still, this is the God for whom there is no anonymous sheep, to whom nobody is a write-off, for whom no one is lost in the crowd. The personal God who loves the number one lost sheep, one missing coin, one sinner lost and found." Isn't that just a fantastic quote from a brilliant sermon? He goes on to talk about a visit he made to war graves in the Channel Islands, dedicated to the unknown dead in World War II, where the remains of soldiers have been interred. No one knows exactly who's buried there. No one knows the birth date or death date to inscribe on the headstones. No one knows the names, but one knows, he wrote, the one who holds and beholds the unnoticed sacrifices and sufferings of our world. Across every gravestone are inscribed the words, "Known by God." Known by God, not unloved, not anonymous, but known to God. This psalm is one that I have turned to at various stages of my life since acknowledging the call of God into ministry. It's provided me with enough challenge when I've needed it, when I've needed to refocus on God and less on myself. But it's also provided enough comfort in those times when life has served me lemons, enough to remind me that I'm not alone in anything. To be known to God is to be loved by God. Of course, God might prefer it if we were better at doing and saying the right things more often, because it's not a get-out-of-jail card to carry on as we are. It is rather a constant check in on us that should nudge us to try harder, to do better. And remember that God's love hasn't come without a price tag. The price tag has already been paid for us. The ultimate pay it forward, if you like. Jesus' death on a cross was for us. God paid the price in seeing his Son on a cross, hung there for us. He took on the pain that we might wake up and do better at living out the word of love. God, in that action, asks us to live and to love in the hope of a new tomorrow. God's love is the greatest gift. And God paid the bill that we should have by paying it. We should do now is pay it forward. This action is what should pull us up sharp and make us to try harder and do better. You are God's beloved. That should be incentive enough to lead lives that honour this. Yesterday on Facebook, I came across a picture with a reflection that I've adapted ever so slightly, and I offer to you now as a reminder of just how precious each and every one of you are. You are God's very good idea. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. You are outrageously loved. You are not alone. You are a child of God. You are the apple of God's eye. You are God's masterpiece. You are unique. You are made in the image of God. You are enough, just as you are. You are loved. You. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Lord, knowing how much you love us, how can we not respond? Take what we offer now and use it to help others come to know of your love for them. May our offerings of money, time, and talents be made in reciprocal love. Amen. I hear little footprint.
Are they coming?
Hear voices. Are you coming in? Who could hear you? Well, good morning. What have you brought with you? School bag. Can I just say, I really like your school bag. Can I show everybody your bag?
Yeah.
Look at this. Is that not a proper satchel? Isn't it? My goodness me, some folk around here are going, I used to have one very like that. But I'm not thinking that any of you had one quite like that. No? Oh, fantastic. Let's see. I'll need to pin myself back on. Here we go. And yours? Oh, you've got a nice bag. Is it all lots of sections and things? And it's a nice one as well. Okay. It's me, I got you. Oh, look at this one. It's a cuddly bag, isn't it? As well as being useful, it can give you cuddles, which is quite a useful thing to be able to do. So, have you all been back to school this week?
Yeah.
And has it been good?
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed yours? It wasn't quite as convincing as the initial one. So, what class have you just gone into?
Primary three.
And are you at nursery? Are you going to nursery? Oh, my goodness me. Alison, are you back at school this week as well? Are we anybody else in here that's been back to school this week? No other teachers? No? No. Okay. Well, one of the things I wanted to do this morning was just what we did last year was offer you just a little blessing for the start of the school year. So I wonder if you would mind coming and putting your bags on the floor and then just standing around them. And I've got a special little prayer to say. And then I've got something to give you as well. Now, if you just leave them, that'd be fine. You can stand beside them if you want. Yeah. So a little special play. And this goes for anybody. You can pray this one forward if you like. So if you're thinking about your own children or grandchildren who have gone back to school this week, please feel free to think about them too. Let's have a wee prayer. Oh God, today we gather to celebrate the beginning of a new school year. Days filled with joy and excitement, as well as uncertainty and wonder. God of knowledge and wisdom, we pray for you, for all schools, that they may be lively centres for learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of goodness. As children and students begin the year, give them open minds and open hearts to learn and to experience more fully the majesty of the world you have created. May this year be full of promise for them and for their teachers as together they experience new beginnings and fresh starts. Enable them to grow in knowledge and wisdom during this school year and all the days of their lives. And so now, God, bless these school bags and the students who carry them. In the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So, I've got a little present for you all to put in your school bags. I've got a little gift here. How many have we got? We've got four. So here we go. We've got some pencils for you to put in your pencil case. And it says on the card, here's to a bright school year. And the pencils will say on them, with love from Cults Parish Church. So it's a little present from all of us for you, for your school bags, for this. And hopefully those pencils will come in handy.
Thank you.
Okay. Mia, you want as well? I'll tell you, wait. Oh, can someone run up the back to Lewis?
Can I get
you? Yeah. Up at the sound desk, because he needs pencils. You need pencils too, don't you? Yeah. And Alison, you need pencils. Right at the sound, right at the back. And Alison, you need pencils for your school bag. Yeah. There you go. Not forgotten just because you're hiding up the back. So I hope, really do hope this next year is a great year for you all. Lots of things to learn. And you'll be surprised by the end of the year just how much you have learned. If you think about your reading and your spelling and your sums, and then by the next time, the summertime comes, you'll be so much better at all of these things. And so I hope you do have a really great year, and it'll be lovely to catch up with you over the year and see how you're getting on with that. Do you want to have a wee seat? We're going to sing a song. It is number in our hymn book, 142 in the hymn book. And this is a wee song. It reminds us, we've been thinking in church just now, the grown-ups, about how much God knows about us and how much God loves us. And so this is a wee song that reminds us of that. Hymn 142, A Small Thing Like a Hazelnut. We come to God with our prayers for the world. I invite us just to sit for a moment in silence. O Lord, our God, as we sit in quietness, our thoughts are far from quiet. We're wrestling with doubts and fears. We're looking for answers. We're hoping against hope, we are seeking strength, we are hungry for healed bodies, for rest from tears. Your word says the hungry will be filled, and we ask you today for you to fill us with the breath of life, fill us with thankful hearts, fill us with calmness, courage, and most of all with the knowledge of your presence. Lord, there are others we know and love who are ill, and we ask you, O God, that you would surround them with your strong, healing presence. Grant wisdom to those who need answers to difficult questions. Grant hope to those who despair, and friendship to those who feel lonely. Most of all, O Lord God, may we know of your love, your great love with you, you have for each of us. You know the hairs on our head. You count each beat of our heart. You knit us together when we were being formed. You know our getting up and our lying down. You are familiar with all our ways. There is no place we can hide from you. You were there at our beginning, and you will be with us through to the end. May we not lose sight of your constant care. We look to you, O God, to be present in our communities and our world. And continue to show us how we at Cults can be part of your work in the world. Teach us how we can grow into faith and be more and more like Jesus. Hear us, Lord. Hear us. Amen. Psalm 139 inadvertently became a bit of a theme last week at the National Youth Assembly, and our closing hymn was also repeatedly used, purely, I don't know, serendipity, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. I chose it for the worship for the team. The opening worship for the young folk when they arrived contained it, and when we went to Gartmore Church on Sunday morning, we sang it again. It's a fantastic hymn. It just speaks, I think, of what we should be trying to create and to build in our church community. It's 198, "Let us build a house where love can dwell."
Thank you.
sisters and brothers, go from this place knowing that the God who made you also sustains you. The God who calls you also goes with you. The God who loved you before you were born still loves you today and into all the tomorrows.